When a waitress uses a gun to raise the caliber of her service, David Caruso has the case scattered, smothered, and covered on the next CSI Miami. What do we got?
Well, Horatio, a Waffle House waitress is accused of shooting a customer who was having eggs and toast. She says she won't talk.
I guess we can do this the hard way or the over easy way. David Caruso is egging on his team in a mad scramble for justice. This case is hot, and the plate is too, on CSI Miami.
She confessed, Horatio. The powder burns you found on the breakfast sausage did it.
I'm not surprised. I knew we'd find the link.
When it comes to right and wrong, David Caruso never waffles on the next CSI Miami.
Stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Little League Baseball Father.
Mr. Little League Baseball Father.
The goal of youth sports is to teach teamwork, fun, and fair play. But you, sir, live in the real world and know the most important goal is to win and win big.
Breed that killer instinct.
You, Mr. Little League Baseball Father, aren't content to sit in the stands. Your face is pressed against the chain-link backstop, barking out belligerent batting instructions.
Get a hit or you're gonna walk home.
How could this kid be from your loins?
Must take after his mother.
So the next time you hear an expletive-laden tirade directed at a 9-year-old who just took a game-ending cold third strike, cover Grandma's ears and give a wide berth to Mr. Little League Baseball Father, a real American hero.
Mr. Little League Baseball Father.
Crying? There's no crying in baseball.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Friday, August 27th, the day before the weekend.
No, this is the day of the weekend.
Yeah, I love Fridays. Do you know that?
I know you do. Everybody and their freaking mom and dog loves a Friday.
Really?
They should love Fridays.
Uh-huh.
Da, 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 da. Important news. You're not going to get it here. Not at, like, Sam
Trenton, not
like,
at this
I
place.
I just love the intro. It's like, we're really important.
Yeah.
And they're like, we love Fridays. Dunk-a-dung.
Yeah.
I had a... How are you, first of all?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Today it's not going to be 1,000 degrees, but 999, I think.
No, it's going to be like in the 80s.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be 80s.
Well, I don't know. It still feels hot to me.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Yeah. Did you get a run in yesterday?
No, I tapped out for those last 2 days. I'm like, yeah. You know what? I can't do it.
You'd fucking faint if you did.
I mean, at night, and then at night, you're ready to get your party on.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go run instead of hanging out with people and acting crazy.
Yeah, God forbid you do
Gosh
sports.
Gosh forbid. No. Yeah. I had a typical Thursday last night. I went to a surprise birthday party, and I dressed up as a slow stripper.
Oh, yeah. You were going to do that. Okay, so how many outfits did you wear?
You know, it was one of these things where I was like, man, I just don't feel like it's just so hot. It was so hot. So I put on a few different tutus, mm-hmm. and then I had like a, you know, a lot of stuff that didn't match. I had a bunch of different scarves all over me, like I was bohemian.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an old Halloween costume on top. Mm-hmm. It was like a ballerina. Then I had a tiger striped cowboy hat on,
mm-hmm.
with a do-rag underneath.
Sounds cool.
And I had my lipstick smeared to the right of my face, to my ear. I blacked out a tooth. Uh-huh. And I walked in. I was like, Stwipple's here. Who called for the Stwipple? And then we started the
music.
So
they all left?
Well, yeah. Well, then I took the birthday guy and I tried to tie him up with my scarves. Mm-hmm. And then I start taking off all my, because I had a bunch of ice, you know, a bunch of like chains and stuff. I start I start taking off the chains,
right.
And the chains got like stuck in my hair and wouldn't come out.
Uh-huh.
And then I finally, he thought it was over, but I pushed him back down. And I actually learned this move from a friend of mine that used to be a stripper, where I got on the floor like I was doing a push up, but my feet were on top of his lap.
Really?
And then they start trying to bounce your butt. And needless to say, I didn't do this thing gracefully at all. So I was like, let me start again. Hold on. And then I kept trying to do it. People were dying though. They did film it, so I think it'll be popping up soon.
Really?
So
you think you killed?
Oh,
yeah.
I know I killed. Not like in a hot stripper way, but in like a slow stripper way.
Mm-hmm.
I nailed it.
Nailed it,
100%
huh?
Oscar.
How many people were there? Do you know?
I want to say about 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people.
Yeah,
quite a performance on your part.
Yeah, more than show up to a lot of shows, so that was good. Passed out some cards.
Yeah.
I was thinking afterwards, like, I wonder if I can make some cash doing this, like as a gag gift. You know, a gag. Somebody pay me like $200. I show up and I put on this elaborate, ridiculous show where I'm like a stripper, but you don't really want to see me strip.
Yeah, you can try it out and see.
Yeah, and all the guys are like, no, we wouldn't pay that because they really want to see you strip. They're like,
right,
no, we want to see you strip. I was like, oh, I don't think so. And they're like, no, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well,
not at this
we
lifetime.
Can talk about that later as well. No, I'm just playing. Always looking for the next gig.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun. Happy day after your birthday, JJ. Turned 40. That's what you get.
40 years old, huh?
Turned 40.
Beginning middle age.
I don't know. I like 40 on a man.
Yeah.
I do. I just don't want him to get older.
But it's still middle age.
What are you then?
I'm beyond middle age.
Really?
Yeah. I'm mature.
You're mature.
Mature man.
That you are.
But middle age is about 40 to 50, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's more 50 plus.
No.
Really?
I'm telling you, yeah, look it up and see. I guarantee you. Yeah. Middle age.
I think I like men in that age bracket. I just don't want them to keep getting older.
I see.
That's the problem. So if I date them, it's cool to start off, but you know, 10 years down the road,
you got to keep
12,
them young.
15
then.
Years. I mean, you know, they're not going to want to have sex. They're not going to be able to hold their bladders and their other stuff.
When? At 50?
And they're past their 50s. Like when they, you know, like 55, 60, you know. They're not going to want to.
I don't know where you get
they're going to get irritated. Everything's going to irritate them. That's what happens to old men. Everything irritates them.
Not necessarily.
They like their
coffee. I mean, I hear that
way.
After 50, people are a lot more relaxed and calm. So
I think they get like old man bitter.
You get irritated. A little mellower. I don't know. It depends. I think you're thinking of 80-year-olds or something. You know, I mean, there's a life between 50 and 80.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it doesn't involve getting it up, you know.
That's my point.
With difficulty.
Yeah, it
I
doesn't
mean.
Involve getting it up. That's my point.
Yeah, with difficulty.
No, I think, you know, I mean, not going into detail, I think I've experienced some stuff there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're dabbling in the wrong age group, I think.
That's what I'm saying. There's some issues.
Yeah.
With the mechanics, if you know what I mean.
I see. Okay. Well, you stick with the young guys then.
Okay. Thanks, Sam.
All right. So you brought us in a guest to the studio this morning.
Yes.
Do you care to introduce him for us?
Yeah, why not? You guys, he's a really, really funny comedian I met here doing the comedy club scene. Demarie, Los Angeles native, give it up.
Demarie, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
It is a good morning. You know, I'm here listening to you guys. I wish I was at the party with the slow stripper. I think that would have been hilarious.
Yeah. I think
I know
you would
move.
Have been disappointed, though. You know,
no, I think
you wouldn't have taken it
well,
off.
Well, yeah. You see, I mean,
you don't need to. That's...
I've been to a lot of strip clubs, and I went to art school, and I drew a lot of nude models. So I've seen nudity.
Right.
But what I haven't seen is a slow stripper. Give a guy the push-up.
Do you know that
shake
move?
Of course I do.
I just learned about
I've seen rat videos too. Like, I mean,
yeah,
come
there
on,
you
that's...
go. But I tried it off because I'm like, I don't have a lot of upper body strength, but I was like, that's okay. We're going to work it out. So I did. I went for it.
But see, every rat video is either like a mob movie or a strip club, basically.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
Gotta
yeah.
pop some bottles and throw them champagne. You can't do that in a club for real. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Unless you have a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know
true.
How rap ended up this way, you know, because it didn't
it's
always
true.
Used to be like that. You know,
it's true.
It used to be clean.
It was true. And you know what's really funny, too? I hear a lot of this because I like to wear, like, skinny jeans or tight pants. You're like, man, people ain't that ain't hip hop. That's not hip hop. I'm like, do you guys remember 1980, like four? Most of the people doing hip hop were wearing leather pants, really
right.
tight leather pants with leather vests, no shirts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm like, really? Those are the originators of hip hop.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking skinny jeans is an improvement over
yeah.
skin tight leather.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
And Jerry curls.
Now, what is the difference between rap and hip-hop? Yeah.
Well, I'm probably not the best qualified to answer this question because I don't know if the viewers out there can tell without seeing me. But, yes, I am black, but my voice, obviously, people hear me, they're like, oh, you don't listen to rap. He probably listens to rock or something. I do listen to rap, though, but hip-hop... Hip hop was just the culture, was a movement. It was, you know, it was the beginning. Like, it was because it's more than just the rap. Music, is only one part of it. Rap, you know, there's elements of hip hop. There's the graffiti. There's the dancing. There's the DJing. And then there's the rap part. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like the MCing and rap is, you know, basically, you know,
it's like a style. Within.
It's just basically when you before it became like rapping, it was just like when you rapping to somebody, you were talking to them. You know, you were you're hitting them with that rap. You know, like pimps would hit girls with that rap. They'd be like, hey baby, look what I'm saying, put you on that corner, girl. You know what I'm saying? And then we're gonna do this. Basically, he would convince her to give her to have sex with men for money, and then give him all of the money, and then what she receives from him is basically the father she never had, slapping and all that
good stuff,
and berating
the,
and but they're. I really see pimps as more like motivational speakers because they really get those girls out there. They're like team captains, you know? It's like, you're going to get out there and you better make this money. Okay, daddy. And they get out there and they make that money. And that's,
you know, that's true.
But that became, once MCing started to be more sophisticated, because before it was just like the DJ would say some things and then he had a hype man who would start saying some things, like getting the people to move, like, you know, telling them what to dance like or, you know, throwing, like, just whatever, like, you know, just how when you go to a party, people are like, the roof, you know, that all that stuff. And
love
then it became, it's deeper kind of African traditions is like where a lot of that rhythm and rhyming came from. And then it just became, you know, it's blues, it's jazz, it's all of it. And that's just my generation and the generation before me, that's just their voice. That's what, you know, and then it became this whole kind of commercial BS thing where people forgot where it came from. So.
Yeah.
Like every genre of music, really, you know.
It all does evolve, you know.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard a black guy tell me, like, no, why do you listen to rap? Rock, that's like, that's the white people music. I'm like, really? Do you know where rock came from? Yeah. All right.
That's funny.
It is true. That's so true. It all evolves.
It's, so it's, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah. So Demarié is very, very funny, and I saw him doing a kind of a crazy little show. It was more It was more like a workout room.
It was in a furniture store. Was in the back of a furniture store. It was like a speakeasy.
Yeah.
And it was so secret that nobody showed up.
It was just you.
They
and
wanted
the four
it
walls.
To be elusive.
Yeah.
They really got that part down.
They got the comics out. They got that part. But the audience part, not so much.
I think it's more like a little workout room or something. But it was funny because I don't know. I went with a friend to check it out. And then they were like, oh, just sign up and do some time. I was like, sure, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought this was, I was like, whatever, I don't know what's really going on. Anyway, the furniture dude, the dude that owned the place, like, he's chatting it up with me beforehand. And then he's bald, right? The bald dude sits in the front row and tries heckling
that
me.
That was him?
Yeah, and I was
the owner?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I was like, I'm getting heckled at the furniture store, open mic by the bald furniture open mic owner. It was just weird. Anyway, it was really funny. But very, very funny guy. So tell us, you are from L.A.
Yes, I was born in L.A., and then my mom moved us to Palmdale when I was five because she wanted to, you know, put us in a good school, keep us away from gangs and everything. And then about
but it's
like,
pretty far from L.A.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But then about like 12 or 13, she moved us to Lancaster because she hates us. That's the only reason I can think why anybody would do that. Why would you do that to
what
a kid?
What is Lancaster like?
Kentucky, basically.
Oh, really?
You know, it's weird. It's only 70 miles north. Mm-hmm. It's an hour. You could drive an hour in any direction, and you're like, where the fuck am I?
That's really how it is in the L.A. area. I mean, if you're not in L.A., it's definitely like farm country or wine country or something.
Yeah, I mean, you drive far enough on the 10, you're in Mexico. It's awesome. You can get like, you know, I can get my window fixed for $50. I can get get some drugs, maybe a baby. I don't know. You can get whatever you want. I love it. I love it. And, I've seen people riding horses on the street. Not often. I mean, that's not something that happens all the time, but you would see it. And, I grew up around a lot of white people and some Mexicans.
Yeah.
A lot. And,
well, you are in LA. I mean,
But see, that's the thing. Like in Palmdale, there were a little bit more black people, but in Lancaster, we were
Totally white, huh?
Community. Yeah. That was it. And then around high school, more more black people started coming in. It was awesome. Like, I thought it was going to be awesome. And I was like, oh, in high school, I'm like, yeah, I have people to relate to.
Right.
And they're like, man, you talk white. What's up with that? I'm like, oh, man.
I talk like the people around me. What the
no,
hell?
No, I don't really. Know. Actually, most of my friends growing up all talk like, you know, surfers, they're skaters, they have kind of like their own kind of lingo. Or they talk like what they think black people actually do talk like, you know,
that's really funny.
What they hear on TV. And I'm just like, wow. My mom made us speak this way. My mom's from the hood. She's, you know, she went to like Gardena High. She's like, you know, she actually is very country because she was raised by my great grandmother, because my great grandmother's from Louisiana, very country. And my mom will say some words and be like, that is not even how that word goes. And she basically made us better than what we were supposed to be at that time. You know,
right.
Like I was reading at 3 years old. You know, she had us. We never had really good toys. It's educational toys. Couldn't watch cartoons. Had to read books. So
that's pretty cool. So she cared
mom.
About you.
Oh,
yeah.
Very, very hardcore. But what she did was she made us stand out even more than we were. Because, you know, as kids, you don't really want to stand out. You want to blend in, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was this little skinny, light-skinned black kid with the big head and glasses. So I already stood out. And then I was like, hey, guys, how you guys doing? Dude, like, did you watch that episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? What's that?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That just makes me even more of an outcast. Like, did you guys read this new book I'm reading right now? Books.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah.
That's funny.
Couldn't tie my shoes at 5
because
my grandma used to give us those Velcro shoes all the time.
Uh-huh.
Kids used to make fun of me in kindergarten, but I'd be like, I can read.
Uh-huh. There you go.
What can you do?
There you go, yeah.
Yeah. So you're grateful for that now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm really grateful because if all job interviews were conducted over the phone, whoo, man.
That's funny.
I would never, ever be out of a job. It's awesome.
Right. That's funny.
But
so you're saying that the person-to-person being black gets in the way for you?
I mean, yes and no. Like when I was trying to get a regular job, like when, growing up in Lancaster, it was a little hard because I thought, you know, people were telling me, oh, when you go into the interview, you got to be serious. The problem is, when I'm serious, I look like I'm angry. Or, you know, one time I came into a interview with like some cornrows, you know, French braids and everything, and I came in with a serious face because I make jokes and stuff, and I was like, no, be serious.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not gonna get that job.
Yeah.
He was like, hell no.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I thought that's what you had to do, and then I learned, oh, you have to actually be yourself, and well, I mean, yourself, the self that you want to get the job, you know, like, oh, I want to work in retail. That's all I want to do, which is nobody wants to do. That's a lie, you know.
Yeah,
but you say that because they want to.
They just want to make you look like total dweebs. I mean, they ask you, so where do you see yourself in 5 years with Subway? You're like,
I hope I'm eating here, not working.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or,
I mean, I've looked at employers and I've said, are you kidding me? I've said stuff like, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I you know, we're even going to know each other in 5 years. I've said stuff like, you know, this isn't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's just be honest here, you know?
I don't aspire to be manager of a sandwich shop.
Yeah, and which isn't bad if you want to, but it's just at the same time, they're like, they want you to be so incredibly intense about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're dealing
with... They might as well. I mean, they figure they pay you. They want the best out of
you. You know what, though? I kind of agree with that, though. I mean, even though it is a crap job, you know, it is your job. You're there. I was just at Trader Joe's yesterday, and I swear, like, all the dudes working were cool. Or like, they looked like they were having a good time. There's this one girl working. She looked like she was having the worst day of her life. Like, working was not, you know, she's like, oh, God, I have to work today. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have
you
a job.
You don't want employees like that.
This is the recession. You know, like, there are people who would wish they had your job, who would be so happy if they had your job.
Right.
Don't look like, you know, you're this little sad, spoiled little kid, you know.
Yeah, like.
It's like, you have to work to make money. It's not, you know, this is the choice you made to work there. At least have fun with it.
Well, what I think is like, I mean, you could put a good attitude on, but I'm talking about being a company man. Like, you know, what are the three beliefs?
What are
our concept? And you're like, you know, if you want customer service, I'll give you that. And I could push a button and, you know, ring up people.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, like, you know, go home and study tomatoes.
Yeah, there's a lot of pretentious shit now.
And it's an oversaturated market with really overqualified people. So what I've noticed is you go out on these interviews and they have the cream of the crop that are way overqualified for the position. And they get so excited to drill you on something. Like, I went out for an interview to be a hostess at a place in Santa Monica. Was not even making a lot of money, okay? Not even a lot of money. But I was like, you know, supplemental is the idea and flexible. So I go there and he's like, so tell me your favorite book. Tell me your favorite book. Okay, and what do you think about this? And he started getting philosophical and I thought, dude, you know, this is a minimum wage job plus a couple tips here and there. You don't get to know my favorite book. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Plus, yeah,
you know?
Plus the hostess is usually the eye candy that pulls people off the street anyway. Yeah. It's like,
just,
really?
Yeah.
How much eye candy do you know that actually reads books?
Start talking about books to your customers.
I'm like, really? We don't need to bond here. You know?
Yeah.
You need to know that I'm a mammal. That's all you need
exactly.
to know.
Exactly.
I can show up. You know,
I can stand. I can wear a cleavage-y shirt. We're
yeah.
good to go.
Yeah, and I can talk.
And I can talk. I can,
you can
direct
talk people
traffic.
To death.
Yeah, that's pretty. You're directing traffic.
He's trying to say something crazy.
He's trying to say that you were a woman.
What? Yeah. What?
What?
So tell us about this. Tell us about your crazy job.
Which one? Being the comedian or being a massage therapist?
I like the massage therapist.
Now, I think they're both crazy. I love them.
Now, yeah. How did you decide to become a comedian?
You know.
Was it a conscious decision or did you sort of evolve into it?
Pretty much everything that I do now as an adult is all things I did as a child. I used to make people laugh all the time. I used to draw all the time. I used to mess around and play a little bit of music. And I used to massage people ever since I was a kid. Like, that's all I used to do and write. And now that's pretty much all I do now.
Yeah.
You know, like,
nothing's
it's funny.
Changed,
to
huh?
some people, they're like, dude, you don't even have a job. Like, what is this? You know, but other times, it depends. Like, sometimes you catch me on a day. On some days, I'm not doing anything. But other days, you right. won't see me. They're like, where is Demarié? It's like, I am working all the time. It's great.
Yeah.
Especially these past 2 weeks. Thank God the slow season is over. But I was just always, making people laugh. I used to try to make my older brother laugh because he was a tough audience, you know, like, and he's 5 years older than me, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was the biggest dork known to man. I mean, because we just watched the same movies over and over again. We used to have all these movies, and we would have our cable would go out every few, years because my mom would be like, I don't like this bill. I'm not going to pay this. Look at how astronomical this bill is. Whatever. And then 3 years, we wouldn't have cable. So we would just, like, watch the same movies over and over again, and, you know, and basically we started having, like, we try to just entertain ourselves because we were poor. We just make make fun of each other or do things or more accurately, they would make fun of me and I had to come back at it. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I was always a very sensitive kid. So I'd be like, stop making fun of me. And, you know, and it was horrible. But the thing is, like, eventually I remember the day I made my brother laugh. I think I was like 17. Once I had that happen, I was like, yes. And I just kept going. And then in school, I used to always make people laugh. And they're just like, dude, you should be a comedian. I'm like, it's kind of hard. Actually, I had a girl I was dating at the time. We were hanging out, and she was just saying, like, why don't you just take a class?
Mm-hmm.
So I took a class, and I met some friends in the class because I had already done a couple of shows. The first time I did comedy, I hosted a show for, like, 10 minutes at my old college, and I killed it. And I didn't even know. Like, he said, do 5 minutes of material. I ended up doing 10 without even knowing and having a good time. And then I saw a lot of the people on the show, and I was like, wow. These guys aren't really that funny. And I was like, oh, man, maybe I should try doing this. You know?
Yeah.
Because
a lot of comedians are not funny.
It's sad but true.
I don't know why they call themselves comics. They're not funny.
Because somebody has told them.
Yeah.
Like, what happens is people will go to a show and they'll bring their friends.
Right.
And their friends will tell them that they're funny. But your friends are your friend's job is to lie to you, to make you feel like a better person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If you really want to know if you're funny or not, don't bring your friends.
Don't bring anybody.
Right.
Bring your enemies.
Yeah.
If
exactly.
they laugh, you are funny. Otherwise,
yeah. And
you're
that's
not
the thing. You know, I mean, you see people, you know, just bomb over and over,
and
they don't get the message. You
the
know?
Definition of
I
insanity.
I mean, you tell a couple of jokes, nobody laughs. You must figure, shit, I'm not funny.
I think there's a weird side of doing stand up where, you know, even if you are good, you know, there's going to be times where there's tough audiences.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that there's part of the passion is in the struggle, and I think that's for some people they hit that wall and they just think it's part of the thing. They don't really differentiate this between, do I have the talent versus is this part
of
the walk?
Well, a lot of times people will be like, oh, that was a bad crowd. It's like, can't be a bad crowd every night, dude.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody's got to laugh at one of your jokes, you know?
Yeah.
You have to try out your material in front of a lot of different types of people, mm-hmm. and if they laugh every single time for at least a few, like, at least five times.
Some consistency, yeah, you need
to know. And then you tell that same joke the same way in front of another group of people and they don't get it, that's them. That's, you know, like, hey, whatever. But it happens sometimes. You know, like, Tuesday night I had a mediocre show because I started off really good. I was improvising. And then I was going to – I made a comment about a guy in the front row, and it could have led to a joke that I tell a lot. But I didn't do it. I didn't go with my instincts. And I was thinking about it, and it started getting weird on stage. And so that's what happens. Like, if you start thinking, you can't start thinking when you're on stage. You just have to do. It's all do. You cannot think. And if you see somebody's wheels turning, you're like, oh, they're thinking. they're trying to figure out where they're going to go. You know, this is a script.
Mm-hmm.
Because comedy, yeah, it's scripted, but our job is to make it feel like we just made it up
like
on the spot.
It's natural, yes.
Because a lot of times we do make some things up on the spot, you know? Mm-hmm. If a lot of times crowd work is that. Sometimes it's rehearsed, but most of the times it's something you just made up, and that's usually the funniest thing, and I love it. Like, it's electrifying to me. I'm not even... People are like, do you get paid to do comedy? Like, what would you get paid per show? I'm like, pay? Hilarious. I love it. I do it. I do it because I'm passionate about it. I'm good at it. I feel like, wow, if you're good at something, you should do it. Unless it's killing. Don't do that. If you're good at killing, leave that. I'm going to have to say,
There's a couple skills you got to redirect.
Find a better hobby. But
yeah, a couple skills you got to redirect that energy.
Yeah, I'm good at choking. Like, no, don't be good at choking. Or find a girl who likes choking. Then you'll be good at that. But other than that, you know, I find it, this is what I love to do, and I love watching it. And I hate when I go to a show and I'm not entertained. And it's like, dude, you know, like, if this is the profession you've chose to do, really study it, really work at it. Know your predecessors, and not to the point where you know their jokes and you're going to basically do them. You know, you're not being yourself. You're being Dan Cook, or you're being Dave Chappelle, I see it all the time, and it's like, be you. Like, there already is a Dan Cook and a Dave Chappelle. We don't need another one.
Right,
I mean, we do,
exactly.
But just not exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we need a bad imitation of him.
You know?
Oh yeah, like, nobody wants to hear a bad imitation of any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear, you know, you want to hear classic people. I mean, if you listen to like Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy sound, you know, have a similar sound, but Eddie Murphy made it his own voice.
Yeah,
you know, you can tell he was inspired by Eddie Murphy. You know, I mean, by Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy was inspired by Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
in an Eddie Murphy production. No, there was and it's like, but Eddie Murphy is different from Chris Rock, and Chris Rock is different from Dave Chappelle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, they and these are all three really big comics, but you could tell that they have influences from Richard Pryor, but they also have influences from other areas, and they were themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why they're big. Be you.
But I think it's interesting, like, you get this, from what I guess this is what I think. I think most of your real comics are your road comics. That's how they make their living.
Yeah.
And in LA, you know, you don't make money in LA. It's a showcase city. You come here to you come here to further your career and to be seen and to break into bigger things and get TV credits and then go back on the road and have a bigger, you know, fee. But what you get a lot here is a lot of people come here and they're still developing or they're still trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
And I understand myself included sometimes with that. But definitely what happens is I wouldn't call it like professional, a lot of professional comics.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, trying to break in LA is when you're a young comic, it's hard because LA itself is where everybody from all over the world comes to showcase their talent.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
if you're starting out in LA in a showcase area, you have to try to be good every time because you never know who's going to see you.
You know,
it's like you can't mess up. Like, there's so much pressure. You're like, oh man, I can't mess up. But at the same time, there's so much competition and there's so many people that it's hard to get up on stage a lot of times. You know,
stage time is different here.
Yeah, you have to hang around and, you know, and like, and really, it's really who you know, because you know somebody and you become friends with them. You know, if they like you, they're going to put you up, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Well, this is the way to do it, you know.
Yeah, help each other out, you know.
So besides so I would imagine you can't really make a living off of the comedy.
No.
And so you're
well,
into
massage.
Well, you
can, but not me right now. Yeah.
Massage therapy, right?
Yes. I went to school for computer animation and design.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 6 years of going to school, I became a massage therapist. Actually, I became a massage therapist while I was still in school, and that helped me pay for school while I was in there, because I was so poor. I was such a starving artist. It was ridiculous. You know, not knowing when you're going to eat next, you're like, oh my God. You know, like, why artists are crazy, because, you know, our body is eating our brain because we haven't eaten. Or we're surrounded by all these paint fumes and we're just like, I'm going to cut my ear off. That's good. You know, like, that's what, you know, we're locked in this tiny room and filled with smoke and turpentine or our computers. You're sitting there at the computer all day, you're going to go insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Yeah. I did that. I was in that profession for like a year or two. 2 years or so, right as the economy was shifting and changing and the writer's strike was going on and all this stuff was happening, the actors were about to strike, people were freaking out, losing their houses, all that stuff, and I got laid off, and I just said, you know what, I made this conscious decision, I'm going to focus on my comedy and just massage people for a living and keep design work for myself and do freelance and help my friends out with their own things, but
yeah,
right.
Really,
so
it's been the happiest decision I made. Some people quit their job, be like, I'm quitting my job, and I'm focusing on stand-up. I'm so focused on my stand-up career. I'm like, because you're going to be homeless soon if you do that. What the hell is wrong with you? Get a job.
Yeah, you got to get a job.
But get a job that you actually enjoy doing.
Right,
You know?
And computer animation is fun. I used to have a computer animation company.
Oh, really?
So what did you do? I mean, what kind of a company did you work for?
I worked for a few companies. I was a motion graphics artist and a compositor, so I did a lot of... bumpers and titles
film.
And
yeah.
So I worked for a company called Big Bad Tomato. we did these informational shorts for kids for Scholastic. Hated that. I didn't hate the job. I love the people that I worked with. I love the place that I worked at, and led me to an opportunity to write for a cartoon that they were doing and do some voiceover work. It was the first time I did voiceover work, and the first time, well, not the first time I was writing for a cartoon, because we actually, in school, we had a production team. We created cartoons and stuff like that, and we pitched a few to Cartoon Network. And I learned my first rejection. It was awesome. But we, you know, I found this more enjoyable. I found making these jokes funnier, and then playing all these characters and these voices. There was these three really funny Black comedians who were there, and I was cracking them up, and I was like, dude, I really gotta focus on this comedy thing, you know, like these guys are laughing at my jokes, are just the stuff that I'm saying, you know, and they're all funny. And I was like, man, okay, maybe I should, you know, focus on this. And I also worked for a place called Union Editorial, which was the best job that I ever had as a designer. It was amazing. They took care of you. I love those guys. Shout out to Todd and Mannix and all the people at Union Editorial. They were awesome. They were the best place. I mean, I right when I got laid off from them, I was like, I will never find a job this good. A boss who actually knows what he's talking about, who will help you out in that field, is unheard of.
Right.
You know, because he knew everything. Programs.
So did you end up giving up on the design and animation?
Yes, because I'm good at it, but I wasn't finding enjoyment from it. And I feel
see.
Like you should find enjoyment. Like you should really, this should really be what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I actually find more enjoyment massaging people than I do sitting in front of a computer all day, because
makes sense.
My attention span is so
short.
But when I'm massaging people, like I do Thai work, I do like sports work, so I'm on the table, I'm moving things around, I'm stretching people, I'm doing so many things at once that I'm just locked in, I'm not thinking. It's great, you know, part of my brain is always going, but the active part of me is just doing, and that's a beautiful thing, you know.
So he's got a lot of crazy stories of
massaging people.
But we were talking.
Well, I work in Venice at times. So.
Well, I was like, have you ever anybody or, you know, he's like, you know, he was saying, you know, when you're a massage therapist, people automatically assume
that I'm a tiny Asian woman. That's what they they're like, you know, because in a lot of the cultures, overseas, it's like, whatever, you know, that's just another thing. But here, that shit's illegal. So, you know, but apparently some of them haven't gotten the memo. But me, I treat every massage like a sting operation. You know, like, I treat every massage like Chris Hansen's about to pop out, like, ha, I knew it. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I need my job. I love my job, and I would be, like, damn if I compromise myself because somebody asked me to do something. I'm just like, why? Like, I mean, can't you just do that yourself? Or are you gonna pay me to do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't pay for that. Like, you're crazy.
So you
like,
get to massage women too? It's not
most of my clientele
though,
is female.
Oh, really?
Most of my clientele is female.
Really?
And I have a lot of male clients. I have a lot of really most of my clients. I swear to God, are the best people in the world. I love them. You know, I have a few people that you know, are not as cool, but most of my clients are awesome. They take care of me, you know, birthday presents and Christmas gifts, and
sweet.
I take care of them. You know, I you know, always hook them up with free massages and whatever. You know, I love my clients because they keep me able to not focus on making money with comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even focus on making money with massage. You know, I just go in and I do a good job. I enjoy it, so it shows with my work, you know. I've been doing it professionally for like six years or so.
Good. So you're fortunate you're doing something you enjoy doing.
Yeah. I don't understand.
As opposed to Kira, who comes here every morning and she's like dragging herself in.
Yeah, right.
That's why people I find hate LA. They come here from different parts of the country or the world, and they want to make it and they want to do this, but then they end up compromising themselves by getting a job they hate. That's gonna affect your mind and your mental, like how you are, like your energy. It's gonna make you just hate everything. If you're sitting in traffic to go to a job you hate, You know, like, what's the point of that? You're just going to hate
everything.
There's
no worse thing, I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
but but sitting in traffic, going to your job, like, you get mad because you're like, dude, I'm going to be late for my job that I love. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be mad. Plus, also, when you're late for a massage, it's one person. It's not like your boss or a company. It's one person who's sitting there waiting for you. You feel like such a dick. So you're like, I'll hurry up, be there on time, you know? And I'm chronically challenged, so I try to be there on time.
So he's got – tell some of the crazy stories about you getting in there. You said this one day – we were out after a show, and he's talking about, like, getting in there, and he's, like, working out some knots or whatever.
Yeah. What's that? Like, I don't be working out the knots that you're talking about. Like, what's that?
But you get in there, and you're shifting some things around, and then what happens?
Ah, you mean – flatulence. Yeah. People do let things go. I once had a guy just...
I would imagine.
He fell asleep. He was snoring. I was massaging him. And then he farted so loud that he woke himself up. How you doing? And went back asleep. I was just like, all right then. That was weird. And my favorite thing in the world, though, is when I'm massaging somebody. Like, say if I'm massaging an attractive woman. And then she farts. It's hilarious to me. It's like, they're just like regular
don't fart,
people.
Right? Yeah.
No, I know women do. But I grew up with, I was raised by my mom. I have two sisters. Oh, I know everything that you guys do. Everything. I've been buying tampons and pads since before I even knew what the hell they were. It was like, I was seven. You shouldn't do that to a kid. I'm seven, like, you know, buying like some Wonder Bread and like some jelly and peanut butter and then tampons. I look like adult males do it. You know, they buy a bunch of stuff and be like, hey, here's some tampons. Like, so people don't notice.
Right.
And they're like, do you know what these are? I'm like, nah. It got awkward in junior high, but after a while I got over it. You know, it's just whatever. It's just a necessity. It's something else, you know. If I bled from there all the time, and once a month, I'd be like, I'm gonna have to get... I wouldn't be embarrassed about buying that. I mean, so.
Yeah,
I think as a girl, like, I think a few things I needed to get. My dad was with me. I was like, go away. Go away so I can buy this. Like, I was just like, go away. Ugh.
You had a dad?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird, you know? You're like, oh, my God,
I don't.
He's going to know I have a vagina.
I'm pretty sure he knew.
He's going to know I have a vagina and that it works now. Like, you know what I mean? You just feel gross. It's like when a sex scene on TV comes on and your parents are in there and you're like...
My mom used to be like, close your eyes, baby. But the problem is she'd still be experiencing the sex scene. Like, we'd be watching, I mean, Purple Rain. She loves Prince. She made us love Prince growing up. I love Prince. I mean, I turn gay when he's in the room. It's insane. I'll be like, hey, I was like, you know, whatever. Any other actor or celebrity, I meet them, I'm like, all right, whatever. But I've been like 5-10 feet away from Prince. I was losing my shit. I was like, oh my God, it's Prince.
Yeah.
And that's not me. I don't get excited for anything. It's a payday. You know, I'm like, yes, I'm not going to be homeless. But I was, you know, and... We'd be watching Purple Rain. It was so awkward. He'd be like, oh, baby, close your eyes. We'd be like, cover your eyes. And then you just hear it, It's like, oh, mom.
Yeah.
We don't want to know.
Yeah. There's just weird stuff like that. Like, my brother, like, lives with him and his girlfriend live together now. And I don't mean to be gross, but, like, when I go over there, I'm like, like, I know they sleep in the same bed. She's seen his little bits and stuff.
I'm sure she's seen and done a lot of other things.
I don't want to even. But, you know, I mean, it is weird for me to think that, like, you know, like, we all went out to dinner when I was in Texas, and, like, he just leaned over and, like, kissed her on the forehead, and that freaked me out.
Well, at least it was the forehead. I mean, my older brother and his girlfriend, man, they do is, like, they like to, because my older brother's a comic, and they just like to gross me out. They'll just out of nowhere will say the most random sexual non sequiturs that I didn't need to hear. I'd be like, you know, or they do some dirty talk. And just for my benefit, I'm like, you guys, you know I'm in the car, right? This is disgusting. I don't want to think about you guys
That's
having sex.
So
this is horrible.
Nasty. Yeah.
I love you guys, but I don't want to think about anybody that I'm related to having sex. My younger brother's wife would be like that too. She like I'd be talking to her on the phone, and out of nowhere they'll be talking about the sex. Like, hey, I don't want to know about my little brother, like, stuff.
Not at all.
So you grew up without a father, though, right?
Yes.
I mean, how did your mom handle, what, four kids?
Five.
Five kids.
Five. Very
That's
well
amazing,
with an iron
huh?
fist.
Yeah.
So she did.
Wow.
She was gangsta. That's how she did it. Like, my mom would do these things that made me ill-equipped for future dealings with women. Like, I mean, equipped in such a way where I understand where you guys are coming from when you're talking about things, but at the same time, like, I'm used to crazy talk. Like, I'm used to, like, I don't understand what you're saying to me, but at the same time, I get it. I get why, like, I get the emotion behind it. That's really what it means. but what you're actually saying to me, it's insane to me. Like, my mom used to say things like, boy, you better wash them dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. I'm like, but the dishwasher washes the dishes, so why would we have to wash the dishes to wash the dishes? And she's like, just do it. And like, you know, there's no explanation. I mean, she raised me to be a smart kid, and I'm just like, I don't understand why.
What was she saying in that sentence? She's saying, just get it done?
She basically was saying, I don't want you guys to get sick, so I'm not going to rely just on the dishwasher. But we have a dishwasher, so now we can get double clean. My mom is kind of a hypochondriac. Not kind of. She is a hypochondriac, but also the kind of hypochondriac that almost to the level of like Munchausen's disease, where she thinks her kids are always sick too. But I grew up very sickly.
My mom has Munchausen's.
Yeah, I had asthma growing up, and I mean, I was really sick. Like, I would be in the hospital a lot growing up, and she never forgot that. Like, she never let me do anything because she was afraid that I was going to die on her. But she never conveyed that to me. She just told me, like, hey, can I go hang out at my friend's house? No. Like, with no explanation. Yeah. But my brother would be like, hey, can I go to Mexico with my boy Jose? Sure, go ahead. And I was like, what the hell?
Because he never had a bout of asthma.
Nope. So.
Yeah. My mom was crazy. She'd say crazy shit all the time growing up. She'd be like, Kara, I brought your ass in this world. I take your ass out in a heartbeat. I was like, no, you can't. It's murder.
That's not that crazy. That's
really?
Regular. That's pretty much
regular
talk right there. That was on like the first episode of The Cosby Show. You know, trust me, that's pretty regular.
She threatened though. She'd be like, I'm gonna take you guys to. Did you guys have like charters?
Charters.
It's like an insane place that you, or Devereaux places you threw kids that were like kind of like ruraly, rebellious, but
kind
of insane.
We had things like that,
white padded walls.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have like.
She'd always threaten to send us there. She ended up there actually, which is funny.
My mom just. My mom would threaten and then follow those threats up. So.
Oh, she would?
Oh, yeah. My mom.
She'd follow them up.
She learned. She really. You know what? I'm going to say this. Like, my older brother is about to be 30. Oh, okay. I'm not gonna put him on blast. Actually, he's in his 30s, early 30s. And if you do the math, I'm 28. He's 5 years older than me. So his birthday is about to happen soon. But he's never been to jail. I've never been to jail. My younger brother's never been to jail. We're all black men in our late 20s, early 30s, and we don't have any kids we don't know about. My younger brother has 2 kids. He's married. You know, this is like, you're looking at, you know, like, this is like a fairy tale. You're like, what? You never been to jail? Yeah. That's amazing.
Funny.
You know, so.
Did you get beat a lot growing up? Mom?
Oh, God, yeah. My mom was not. Plus, I was a sneaky kid, you know. I was a little thief when I was a kid. You know, I used to just, like, steal anything that wasn't nailed down just because I could. You know, be like, you know, I like to outsmart people. And I would just, like, go to stores and steal things. And things I wouldn't even need. I just would do it because I was like, I wonder if I can get away with this.
Yeah.
And I would.
A lot of people do that. I mean, even those celebrities that get caught and, you know, shoplifting and stuff.
I don't do dumb shit like that now. Yeah. But when I was a kid, like, I didn't care.
I think many kids do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I was really good at it,
though. It's part of growing up. Yeah.
It's not good that I was really good.
Did you ever shoplift?
I think I did steal a piece of candy one time growing up. Yeah. I felt bad about it.
See, if I stole something, it was something I couldn't buy as a kid legitimately, you know, erotic books and shit like that, you know.
Well,
so I just stick it in my pocket and walk out.
I like to say I have a problem. I'm a recovering thief.
<That's funny.
laughs> It's been about, I don't know, 12 years since my last time I stole something. But the funny thing is, it's like, you know, an alcoholic in a bar will be sitting there and they'll be like, oh my God, shaking. I feel that way when people leave money out. I'm just like sweating, like, oh my God, it's so close.
Oh,
I could just take that. But actually, what's funny is when I see people doing really dumb things that could get, like, that can get, they can get robbed or stolen. Like, I saw this couple the other day. We're on Sunset. It was after a show. We're walking. I see these couple all hugged up, like, on the bench. And the guy has his phone, like, at least 6 inches away from him while he's hugged up with this girl. I'm like, dude, you know how easy that is to steal? What's wrong with you? I kind of wanted to grab it, walk away, and just see what would happen and wait for him to be like this. Like, see? This is why you got to watch your stuff. Or give it to the bouncer at the local club and wait for the guy, like, wait for this guy to freak out and then give him about 5 minutes and then give him his phone. You know, because you gotta, these are lessons you gotta learn. You know, like, these are, you can't be dumb. It's like, why did my laptop get stolen? Was it on, you know, in your front seat of your car? Yeah, you see, that's that's stupidity.
Yeah, I try not to leave my laptop or my guitar or
nothing. Don't leave anything in your car. That is a one way, that's the easiest way to get, you know, to get your stuff stolen. I had my car broken into, and I had tinted windows. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and all they broke into my broke my back window, and they rifled through my car, and all they took was my CDs, which sucked because it was a lot of my CDs. Right. But they didn't take. They really went through it too. They opened my trunk, you know, and I had my massage table in there.
Oh,
and man, if they had taken that, that would have been it. But then again, you know, that's kind of conspicuous. It's a big ass massage table running down the street like a crackhead. Is like, oh, I got a massage. Because who steals CDs, really? Like,
yeah.
What you gonna do with those CDs? You gonna play with the disc man on the bus?
Yeah, but that's all they find in the car, so they take.
I first moved to LA, I lived in Van Nuys, and there was the Balboa Park, and I'd go running around there with a roommate of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a car I bought in Texas for $150.
Nice.
You know, like a Nissan something back in like the, you know, right when cars were invented, that kind of car, you know.
Nissan Chariot. There
yeah,
it is.
You know, basically.
$150.
It's through a friend, basically. Yeah. So anyway, we went running, and this thing is not, you're like, why would you ever want to break into it? It's just like, it's a point A, point B, hopefully.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully
point B. Anyway, my roommate beats me back to the car, and there's somebody legs outside the driver's seat. He walks up, and there's a dude smoking a cigarette in my car, just relaxed. He's relaxing. And there's shattered. He's like, what's going on here? He's like, oh, I left my keys in my car, man. I had to break in. You know, left my keys in my car. He's like, where are you from? He's like, oh, I'm from around here. He's like, but your plates say Texas. He's like, yeah, I bought it. I mean, he kept this shit going. He's like, yeah, I bought it in San Antonio. He's like, dude, this isn't your car. It's my roommate's car. He's like, no, man, it's my car. He's like, it's my roommate's car. I'm calling police right now. The guy's like, oh, shit. And like, he runs away. I'm like,
that is
I wish I would have gotten there.
That is the dumbest criminal of all time.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, that's... It just will show you don't have to go to school to be a criminal.
Did he even choose that car? Like, he knew.
Because the thing is, a really crappy car isn't going to have an alarm system. Trust me, I'm recovering, like I'm saying, recovering
things. Well, I know they're easier to break into. I mean,
like, if you wanted to add, like, you know those TV shows on, like, A&E where the burglars break into somebody's house and then they show you, this is what you're supposed to do because you break. Like, that's how it is when it comes to, like, petty thievery. Like, I'm just like, yeah, you probably, this is the problem. You have a crappy car. They see, oh, there's no alarm system, because that's all I've owned is crappy cars. I drive a 2000 Mitsubishi Galant right now that is just death on wheels. It's horrible.
Yeah, falling apart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's only 10 years old. It's like, what the hell? Like, I thought the Japanese made better cars than this. They do. They're called Hondas. You just don't get anything else.
It's just Honda. Hondas.
But Mitsubishi, I think, is Japanese for shit can, because it's like, whoa, this is the worst car in the world.
So what about this? But what was good for me is that I had put my purse in the trunk, and there wasn't, you had to have a key to open up the trunk.
I mean, that's good.
That's good
because,
but it's...
Because if you had one of those things, you'd pop.
Yeah, I didn't have one of those. That's like...
But, I mean, yeah, but other than that, you're good to go. Yeah,
and same thing now with...
Unless you have one of those back seats that you can pull down and it goes in the trunk. So you're good then.
Yeah. That's where my valuables are going,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't steal my $1 million. It's in my trunk right now, as we speak.
Yeah.
That's just creepy, though. That's where he's like just chilling, like shattered glass. It's like, yeah, you have to break
into your
own car.
That's just a lazy ass criminal, too. It's like, if you're going to do it.
I think he exerted himself breaking the glass. And he's like, oh, I got to take a cigarette break for a second. Woo!
Seriously, seriously, yeah. And then I had this crazy, you know, you have those crazy girlfriends. They're like, she's like, nobody'd ever want to steal your car. And I was like, oh, really?
Oh, that's not crazy. That's called snobby.
Yeah, she's like,
and
meanwhile, she didn't have a car. And I was always driving her ass around.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how it goes?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She's like, nobody'd ever want to steal your car. And I'm like, well, that's funny.
You would want to if you needed a car.
Yeah.
You broke bitch.
Yeah, basically.
Basically what you thought, right? Yeah. I hate when people you're giving somebody a ride and they are... like dicks, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had a friend of mine. We used to carpool to work together, and I would be late a lot because, you know, picking him up and we'd go. And one time they talked to us about being late, and the first thing he did was take the side of my boss, telling me like, he was like, oh yeah, you guys are gonna be on time, and he just started looking at me like, yep. Like, I'm like, you're not one of the reasons why I'm late, dude. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, so we'll.
I was
fix
like,
that.
Hey man, hey, you can be on time, which if you put your ass on that bus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
or
if
like
you want to.
I'll help this situation.
You know,
out.
I'm hooking you up, son.
Yeah.
I was mad as hell about like that shit. Like that day, we talked about that. I was like, yeah, we gotta talk, son. But he's still my boy. But that shit was like, I was like, yeah, that ain't cool. Or people complain like, man, your car is dirty. I'm like, you don't have a car. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
How about you sit in my car and shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
How about you help me clean that shit then? If you're so obsessed about the mess.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Demoria, where can people find you? Do you have a website?
I'm still working on my website right now. I'm not gonna unveil it yet until it's done. Maybe I'll have to come back.
Okay, where are you gonna perform anytime soon?
The next place I'm gonna be performing is actually Second Street Jazz on Sunday night. It's in downtown. It's 366 East 2nd Street in Los Angeles, in downtown. It's near like Little Tokyo and stuff like that. It's a really cool jazz club. Mm-hmm. It starts at 8:30. It's only $10, and $5 of that goes towards your first drink. And there's drink specials all night, you know.
Sounds good. So, Kara's gonna be there for sure.
Yeah,
sure,
of course. There's a lot of good people.
If there's drinks, you'll have.
Yeah,
it there.
Of course. My brother's hosting it. My brother Damian LeVay is hosting it. A bunch of my good friends are on there, like Omar Elba, StroyMoy.com, and Willis Turner. It's going to be a very black show. I realized that accidentally. We're like, oh, wow, we just made this a really black show. All right. Except Omar is Egyptian. But then again, technically he's African, which makes him black. So, hey.
Yeah, even more black.
Right?
There you go.
Right? So, and that's good. And then I'm usually at the Comedy Stores on Mondays helping out my friend promoting this show called Space Age Comedy, Monday nights in the main room at 8, usually most Mondays. Not this Monday coming up, but next Monday. And then he's got another one coming up at the Improv at September 8th at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, called Full Throttle Comedy. And Whitney Cummings is going to be on there. A lot of people are going to be on there. It's going to be a good show. So y'all should come out. Tickets are going fast.
So Facebook, real quick.
Facebook. My Facebook is Demarie. It's just my first name. I made it where it's just my first name. So it's like my first name is D-E, mm-hmm. and my last name is M-A-U-R-I-E-A. So it looks like how my name actually is, which is D-E, a little bit of a space, capital M-A-U-R-I-E-A. So,
right.
So you can find me on Facebook. You know, you can go to Kara's page. I'm on Kara's page. Yeah. We're good friends. I'm black, so I have to send out the obligatory shout-outs real quick. Send a shout-out to my mama in Lancaster right now. Send a shout-out to my older brother, Damien, and his girl, April, in Lancaster. My little sister, Christiana, in Lancaster. My other sister, Katiana, in Texas.
Oh, wow.
My younger brother and his wife and family in Oregon, my brother, Deontay.
So you guys are scattered all over the place.
Oh, all over the place.
Well, that's how most families are these days.
JDL and the Johnny Utah holding it down. my right. comedy buddies.
Okay.
Know,
sounds
friends.
Good.
So,
sounds good.
I have to. It's something we have to do. Like if I get off of the mic without sending out shout outs, they're like, right. What the hell is wrong with you, man? You are a black man.
Yeah.
You have to send out the shout outs.
All right, Demoria. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. I had
a
blast.
All the best to you.
We didn't even get into the dirty stuff.
No, not yet.
Maybe next time.
Next time.
Yeah. Kara, thank you so much.
I see you're
eager to leave, so we'll let you go. And are you expecting an exciting weekend or
all the time? I'm gonna do a run and a hike today.
Okay.
Oh shit.
All right.
I'm not.
Sounds exciting to me. I'm sitting at home in the air conditioning.
You can't like I was coming from Texas. You can't let it settle in too quickly, or then it sticks. You gotta work that shit off quick.
Okay, then go ahead and work it off. Everybody, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here on Monday.
Bye.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.